And welcome back to Midday on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. We are in the process of trying to get in touch with our good buddy Joyce Scott. We're not able to do that quite yet, but we are working on it. And as soon as we do, she will join us to talk about very exciting news that she's one of 23 recipients of the 2016 MacArthur Genius Grant for this year. So we are working on that. And while we do so, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Joanne Martin, the founder, along with her husband, Dr. Elmer Martin, of the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum, as well as David Fakunle, who is a servant of the city, a fellow with the Baltimore City Health Department, and a doctoral student at the Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and an artist and storyteller. So, Dr. Martin, what I know you haven't been to the new museum in Washington. It's very difficult to get a time ticket to get in. I mean, it's going to be a while for a lot of folks to be able to get down there. What do you want to see? I mean, when you walk in there, what are you going to be looking for?
Well, for me, museums are learning places, and they are places of reflection. So I would like to know that that the history is presented in such a way that I can ingest it, I can reflect upon it, I can use how the architecture adds to the story or lends to the story. Those are the things that I look at as a museum professional and as a historian. I like to watch how children are interacting with the exhibits. What questions are they asking?
Yeah, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Yeah.
I like to know that it's not so overwhelmed by science and technology that children miss a lot of the heart and soul of the story being told, or that if there is a lot of technology, it's managed technology so that there is some resource there that's going to tie the very, very important people, the ancestors, the patriots, all of those things that people were, into what we want our children to walk away with. Because when they do walk away, I want to know that they have been so inspired that they want to make sure that that history is never lost.
And David, we do have Joyce on the phone. We're going to move to her in just a second. But as a master of the griot tradition, what kind of stories are you hoping to hear told at the National Museum in Washington?
I'll keep it very simple. I want the full story to be told, the history of people of African descent, people from the African diaspora in this world is a beautiful history, good, bad, and indifferent. That full history needs to be told. It can't be whitewashed, pun intended. I want people to have a full understanding of everything that we as people of color have contributed to this world, the struggles that we still deal with even today, but the resiliency, the strength, the hope that we still have for our children, for our future, to truly be integrated in this country and the world.
Well, David Fakunle, Joanne Martin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank
I
you.
Very much appreciate it, and we will see you soon. I hope our paths
Absolutely.
Do cross soon. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
It's now my pleasure to welcome to Midday my friend, Joyce the Genius. Joyce Scott lives in Baltimore. She's a jewelry maker, a sculptor, a performance artist, a writer, and a singer. And now she is a MacArthur Fellow, one of 23 recipients of this year's MacArthur Foundation's so-called Genius Grants. It's a $625,000 no-strings-attached award that honors her extraordinary creativity. She joins me on the phone from her home in West Baltimore. Joyce, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you, Big Thomas?
I'm doing great.
And I'd like to make an amendment. If you call me a writer, if anyone sees my name on anything except an apology, run. Do not read it.
Well, you've written comedy. You've written run.
Yeah, well, that's more performance-oriented.
Yeah.
I did have a few forays into thinking that I could actually write something that someone wanted to read, not hear me speak, and it was wrong. It was the wrong idea from the beginning.
Well, you've got nothing to apologize for when it comes to winning a MacArthur Foundation grant. I am so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is terrific news. I mean, it's been a couple of days. Well, it's been actually a few weeks since you found out. The world found out about it on Wednesday. Has this sunk in? How you doing with this?
No, I still feel as if I'm going to throw up every day. Because now I could throw up money. But boom, boom.
Who says you're not a writer, Joyce? Come on.
But I really, it is such an enormous gift, blessing, and responsibility that I haven't really become sanguine. I'm not really that comfortable with it yet, but I think I'm up to the job.
I think you're up to the job, too. And you, it's important that you mentioned it is a responsibility.
Yes.
I mean, this does elevate your profile. It elevates people's inclination to be attentive to your work. What do you think that's going to mean for you as an artist moving forward?
I think I can't cuss so much publicly. I think I have to stop being, you know, a potty mouth publicly. No, that's not really true. I'm going to keep cussing if I want.
You can afford to now. Why not?
Yeah, let me say that I also was awarded the Baker only, I think, 2 weeks ago. And that's a wonderful award and a wonderful gift. And it's being embraced by basically the Baltimore, Maryland community.
And the Baker Artist Awards, we should remind folks, is an award that is given out here to artists in Maryland.
Yes.
You won a substantial prize there, a $50,000 prize, as a Baker Artist Award. And it's been going on for, off the top of my head, I can't remember how many years. Very important award.
It's a very important one. Please don't be talking about money, because I don't want people coming to my house thinking they could get a loan or something.
Well,
I'm a roundaway girl, you know. But what I wanted to say is the embrace that you get from your community. I am 67. I'm the oldest a MacArthur awardee this year. And so, I mean, I've been around for a long time. I know lots of people in the community, gone to school with folks. And so I'm very comfortable being one of Baltimore's artists. This MacArthur is the thing that really pumps up your presence nationally and internationally, whether you're out there doing it, or as you said, people are actually being more attentive to looking at the work, wanting to see it and talk to you about it. And that is a responsibility in doing it. And no matter what people say, not only do you represent yourself, but you represent who and where you came from.
And not only are you an artist of Baltimore, you are quite specifically an artist of the west side of Sandtown. You live very close to the epicenter of where the violence occurred in April of last year, and your commitment to that neighborhood, your commitment to that, to our city, has been longstanding, and I bet that's not going to change either, huh?
No, I use Louis Armstrong as one of my examples. He lived in the same house until he passed away in New York, and it wasn't a poor neighborhood, because I'm living in a working-class neighborhood because I'm a worker. But his point was about not leaving. And for me to run away from my own folks is actually for me to run away from myself, to what would I be running from? There isn't anywhere in the world now that isn't strife-driven in some way. So that I wouldn't be getting rid of. And I believe that you are in some way a welcoming kind of example of what can happen if you persevere. Lauren Cornish lives like four or five blocks from me.
Another,
you know,
wonderful
his two
artist, yeah. Sure.
Original homes are completely covered in mirror and stained glass. So every time those people in that block walk by that, they have this grandiose artistic experience. And he's known as the artist up there. I'm like the artist here. In fact, where I live is very close to Micah and Reservoir Hill, and so we're just littered with artists. You can't throw an apple without hitting an artist in the head. And so to be in this artistic be in a neighborhood where you can represent the arts and be an example of what a round-the-way girl from Sandtown can become if you just keep working. When I was younger, I lived in neighborhoods, and this is like 50s, early 60s, where this is really the profuse integration, which meant the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, postmen, you know, my father worked at Bethlehem Steel. Everybody lived in the same neighborhood. And so there are examples of what you could actually be living next to you, right?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of migration away, which I understand, is harmful to us. And I don't really believe you can run away from yourself, as we're learning, as this city is really routing areas and sending poor people to the counties. I mean, come on, that's where people ran away too. Now what? Guys, now what?
Yeah, the artist Joyce Scott, she's a recipient of a MacArthur Genius Grant. here in 2016, one of only 23, and as she mentioned, the oldest recipient of a grant this year at the age of 67. I couldn't help think of your mom,
yes.
Elizabeth Talfort Scott, who was herself a very acclaimed textile artist. She was a quilter.
Yes.
She died, I guess, about 5 years ago.
Exactly.
You mentioned your dad, who worked at Beth Steele. You got to be thinking that that your mom is looking down from heaven and is one very, very happy lady today.
I can't tell you how many emails who knew from people who knew my mom have said just that. Oh, she's yelling, she's jumping around. And I think my father will finally get it because there's money attached to it. And he was one of those hard workers. And it sort of like was, now, oh, she got money. This is wonderful, Joyce.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you this before our time is up, that another great blessing came to me. I'm one of the artists who is exhibited at the new African American Museum in Washington.
That was my very next comment.
See, I'm telepathical too.
You are telepathical, a telepathical writer, I may say. But you know that, and that is huge. It is. There are 35,000 works collected in that collection.
Yes.
You have been to the museum, and one of your works is going to be there. That's an incredible honor as well. Tell us your impressions of the museum. You walked through it last week when it was still.
Well, I was in a wheelchair basically because I'm having trouble walking. But that too shall change. And I was having an artist push me, which made me feel kind of good.
Nice.
But,
nice, yeah.
I went with two close friends and another close friend who's also my gallerist, Amy Race, who's responsible for this work being at that museum. My gallery supporting me, Goya Contemporary.
From Goya Contemporary, right. Mm-hmm.
And firstly, you come up to it, and people say it looks like a crown, and I guess it does because of the reference to, I think, fabric in this beautifully, the cutouts on this coppery brass metal. But to me, it was like, I don't know, it's a very special kind of intergalactic spaceship or something. It's beautiful. It's enormous. So you get in, and it's enormous. And there's artwork everywhere. My work wasn't up then. And it's many, many, many floors. So you can start from the very bottom, which has a lot to do. I mean, it's very spiritual and prosaic that the bottom would have a lot to do with the very first history. And then keep moving up until you get to some more contemporary work, but still it's history everywhere. It's profoundly elevating. It's amazing to see people walking around in their finest, being absolutely proud, and it's evolutionary in regard to that. And it's next to the Washington Monument. I don't know how much more
yeah.
on the nose that can be to have a museum about African Americans next to a monument to the first president of the United States.
Indeed. I can't wait to see it myself for sure. What do you hope people will get from it? What are your aspirations for people of all cultures and all races to understand about the African-American experience once they've had the experience of being in this beautiful place?
Well, firstly, I agree with the, I did hear some of the guests who were just speaking. I, of course, am so proud that they show how important African Americans were to this culture and are to this culture that we live in, the American culture, mm-hmm. that we're not set apart from it. We're right in the epicenter of it. And the bigger thing is that because of that, this is African and American history as well. And it's very important for people, I believe, who have separated themselves from that, no matter what their ethnic group, to go in and just see just how regal and important we were.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, of course, from slavery.
Yeah.
who I can, I mean, people talk about slaves like they weren't superheroes.
Yeah.
You work all day dragging a bag that's not an Hermes or a Saint Laurent,
Joyce,
right?
That's all we have time for this morning. I'm just so glad that in your busy schedule, I know a lot of folks are trying to get in touch with you these days. We're so glad that you took a little time to come and talk to us today. Thank you so much and congratulations. This
is
terrific news. Okay, thank you. Joyce Scott, one of 23 recipients of the 2016 MacArthur Genius Grant. We've got a link to information about Joyce's work on our website, wypr.org/midday. Lunch for our midday guest today provided by Pen and Quill, located at the corner of North Charles and Landvale Streets in Station North, serving small plates, sandwiches, entrees, and an array of cocktails, wine, and beer Monday through Saturday starting at 5. Menu and reservations at penandquill.net. It's Maryland. It's midday here on WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.